You're listening to the Taylor Marshall Show, episode 111, and today I'm sharing with you my 10 tips for visiting Rome as a pilgrim. Howdy, and thank you for tuning back into the Taylor Marshall Show. This is the podcast for everyone who wants to create daily habits and learn enough theology to take their faith to the next level. And today's format is a bit briefer. I'm not doing the Latin word of the week or the tip of the week. I'm just giving 10 tips for visiting Rome as a Catholic pilgrim. Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you are in the world. I am literally packing up to leave my home here in Texas and to travel to the eternal city, Roma. I'll be teaching once again for the Rome Experience, seminarians who are in Rome for a time of reflection and recollection and theological studies. And I'll be teaching a class there based on my book, The Eternal City, Rome and the Origins of Catholic Christianity, where we talk about the place of Rome in the salvation of souls. Rome as a theological concept, not just as a city, but as a means of human salvation. We go into the Old Testament, look at Daniel, we look at 1st and 2nd Maccabees, we look at the Gospels, and we look at how God used this pagan city given over to idolatry and transformed it into the capital of the Catholic Church. It's an example of how God can take our lives with its idols, with your sinfulness, with your brokenness, and transform it into something glorious and into something eternal. So since I'm getting ready here, I didn't have time to prepare a full show, so today's show will be a little bit briefer. And my goal in the next 3 to 4 weeks while I'm in Rome is to do some short podcasts of things that I'm learning, things that I'm seeing, maybe an interview with someone interesting, who knows. And if all of a sudden the podcasts come on a month later and there aren't any, that means I didn't get to it. I apologize, but I hope I'll be able to do something. Today, I want to talk about my top 10 tips for visiting Rome. You know, you can visit Rome in two ways. You can visit Rome as a tourist, or you can visit Rome as a pilgrim. And those two identities are different. A tourist goes to see sights, take some photos, and that's fine. But the pilgrim goes in order to seek sanctification. The pilgrim goes offering the journey as a mortification. It's a penitential practice. And we're not just seeing the sights, but we're entering into the realities that the sights represent. So going to the Colosseum isn't just going to the Colosseum and talking about the movie Gladiator or whatever. It's a contemplation on martyrdom and how we can put to death sin in our own lives. Going to St. Peter isn't just looking at the great artwork. It's being in communion with St. Peter, with the Vicar of Christ, and meditating on the mystery of the universality of the church. How there are churches as far off as Korea and Zimbabwe and Brazil and Texas that are in communion through the sacrifice of the Mass, through apostolic succession, with the Bishop of Rome. So here are 10 tips for visiting Rome. I'll admit I did blend in some touristy features, for example, gelato, the great ice cream there in Rome. So this list is a blend, and I think it's okay if you're a pilgrim to any place, even Rome, it's okay to do some of the touristy stuff and have fun and have some good food and see some amazing things, as long as our primary goal for going as a pilgrim is to enter into these spiritual realities. So the first one that I recommend is that you plug in right away when you get to Rome to the major basilicas. There are 4 archbasilicas or major basilicas there in Rome. Obviously, St. Peter's at the Vatican is one of them. That's where St. Peter is buried. St. Paul's outside the walls is where St. Paul is buried. St. Mary Major is the chief Marian church in all the world. Of course, Our Lady's not buried there because she was assumed body and soul into heaven at Jerusalem. And then probably the most significant one with regard to the city of Rome itself is St. John Lateran, and that's the actual cathedral of Rome. Many people wrongly believe that since St. Peter's is where the Sistine Chapel is and St. Peter's Basilica and the Vatican Museums and where the Pope lives, that that's the cathedral of Rome. No, actually, the cathedral is St. John Lateran, which was converted from the Lateran Palace. It was a gift given by Constantine to the church. And these four major basilicas are the spiritual centers of Rome itself. We have devotion to St. Peter, upon which Christ built the church. We have all the beautiful art, the architecture. St. Peter itself is magnificent. The piazza, also known as the square, even though it's not square, it's a circle, is glorious. I'm looking at a picture right now, and I just can't wait to get there. Whenever I get to Rome and I enter in past the colonnade into the piazza there and see the facade, I always get emotional. I sometimes tear up. It's like I'm home. I feel like I've just crossed the threshold from earth and I've entered into heaven. St. Paul's is important because, you know, St. Paul wrote about half the New Testament. The doctrine that we believe, the doctrine that we confess, mostly comes from Paul. What we know about the sacraments, what we know about Christology and our theology, we get from Paul. And so when we go to St. Paul's Basilica, we enter into communion with Paul. St. Mary Major is a beautiful church. Below the altar is the creche, the crib of Jesus Christ. And it's important that we go down beneath the altar and we kneel down there and we ask the Lord, what is my vocation? Am I to hold the Christ child in my hands as a priest? Am I to serve Christ in the poor and the less fortunate as a religious? Am I to open my own family and my home to the gift of children, to my own crib and creche in my home with daughters and sons? It's a great, beautiful place. There's so much that we could do to meditate and to spend time in mental prayer there at St. Mary Major. And then St. John Lateran, I like for three reasons. First of all, the high altar in there is gorgeous. Second of all, one of my favorite popes of all time, Pope Leo XIII, is buried there. If you're looking from the back of the church at the high altar, he's back and to the left. And just outside St. John Lateran is the Holy Staircase, the Scala Santa. This is the staircase that Christ ascended in order to stand trial under Pontius Pilate. And St. Helena had the staircase removed from Jerusalem and brought to Rome, and you can go up it on your knees. It's a penance, it's a mortification, it's indulgence by the Pope, and it's painful. It doesn't sound painful, but for some reason it's so painful. Everybody says, it just looks like going upstairs on your knees, but it hurts really bad. It's a great time to remember how Christ carried our burdens for us in this life and then carries us, God willing, to heaven in the next. But there's also probably a dozen other churches in Rome that I like to visit that are very beautiful. I don't want to go through them all because it would make a whole podcast. In fact, I might do a podcast on my favorite churches in Rome. But my favorite two churches that are lesser known are the church in Trastevere, Santa Maria Trastevere, and St. Agnes in Agony, which is on the Piazza Navona. I saw St. Maria Trastevere for the first time about 10 years ago, and I met a friend there who I'd never met before. His name's John Boyden, and we've kept in touch over time. And he showed us that church, and we had a great meal there. Joy was with me. And I like this church because it's so Byzantine. You almost feel like you're in an Eastern Orthodox church. The mosaics, even the style of Christ and Our Lady, of St. Peter that's in the apse there, looks Byzantine. You almost feel like you're in Constantinople. Above the altar are the Lamb of God crowned with a halo, and then you see 12 sheep coming to him, which signify, of course, the apostles. Above that, you see the signs of the four evangelists. It's just very patristic. It just feels Eastern. And I don't know, for some reason, I just love that church. Last summer when I was there, I went to a Sunday Mass on Sunday morning just to get the feel of it. They use a lot of incense. Again, it felt Byzantine, and I appreciated that. So I would encourage you to check out Santa Maria Trastevere. Also, a beautiful church that I only discovered, I don't know if I'd been there before, but I really discovered it spiritually, was St. Agnes in Agony. And my favorite piazza there is the Piazza Navona. I would have lunch at a little cafe there, and then I'd walk across and make a visit to this beautiful church. It has a Baroque feel to it. And then in the very back, you have to know where to look. You can kneel down and pray before the skull of St. Agnes. It's a little skull. She was a virgin martyr. If you're a member of the new St. Thomas Institute, we just recorded a whole video lesson on her life and the story of her martyrdom. But she's a saint of holy purity, of sexual chastity. So I like to go there and pray for myself, my family. I pray for my 8 children, that they live a life of purity and of chastity and of modesty, praying there before St. Agnes. The third thing I would recommend if you go to Rome, if you're healthy, walk. I would log in, you know, up to 6-7 miles a day sometimes, just walking. It's easier to take the metro or a bus or a cab, but if you really want to know a city, you should walk. Now, if you're only in Rome for 1, 2, 3 days, by all means, use a taxi cab. Get around and see as much as you can. But walking is one of the ways that you discover, you know, a great restaurant, or the way you discover a church that's just a little bit off the beaten path. You know, you go into a little shaded area to rest, and there's a church, and you go in there, and as your eyes adjust, you realize how magnificent it is. Sorry. So I would encourage you to walk. Be a pilgrim. St. Philip Neri started that great tradition of the 7 churches. He would walk from St. Mary Major, and he'd go to St. Lawrence, and he'd go to the Church of the Holy Cross, and St. John Lateran, and St. Sebastian, St. Peter's. He would walk. And, you know, being a pilgrim entails walking. It entails something physical. It's a journey. You're going from A to B. And it's in those times of walking that I've had times of great prayer, great meditations, and sometimes I've met someone who I never would have expected to meet. I can think back of people, I've forgotten their names now, of lunches I've had with people, dinner I've had with people, strangers I've met, people from other countries, just walking around and meeting them. And that's part of, I think, divine providence, is having these random interactions with people. Just, I think I've mentioned it before on the podcast, but last year I was there and I was not able to be at home for my anniversary with my wife, Joy. And so I went to the Piazza Navona, and I was kind of feeling sad, you know, that I wasn't with Joy and that we weren't able to celebrate on the day. And there was two couples next to me, and they were celebrating anniversaries. And they, you know, they noticed I spoke English, and we started talking, and they were from Britain, and they ended up buying me champagne. And we spent the evening just talking and getting to know each other. And it was just a great way to celebrate my anniversary in an unusual way. And I thank God for that. And that wouldn't have happened if I had been rushing around in taxi cabs. It takes that slow, steady pace, literally a pace, of walking around. Number 4, I just recommended walking, but now I'm going to recommend that you do a bus tour. You know those double-decker buses that are kind of cheesy, and they're a little bit expensive? I would encourage you, if you get to Rome the very first day, get on one of those bus tours. It'll give you a global view of Rome. You'll get to know where the Palatine Hill is in relationship to the Vatican and St. Peter's, and you'll see the Spanish Steps, and you'll see, maybe you'll get off and go see the Trevi Fountain, and you'll see how St. Mary Major's is kind of close to St. John Lateran, and you'll see where the Colosseum is and the Forum in relation to all the Christian places and St. Clement's, and it'll just give you the feel. It'll create a map in your mind for the city of Rome. Like, I can close my eyes and I can kind of move around the city. And I think taking bus tours helped me digest all those sites and put them into relationship with one another. So especially if you don't have much time in Rome, take a bus tour. 5, read some good books about Rome, Roman history. I'm just going to go ahead and off the hip here, recommend my book, The Eternal City, Rome and the Origins of Catholicism. It's a great introduction to understanding pagan Rome, the role of Jews in Rome before Christ, and how that related to the early conversion of Jews and Gentiles in Rome, the role of Peter, the role of Paul, all the way up to Constantine. So if you want to know the narrative or the arc from pagan Rome to Catholic Rome, check it out, Eternal City. There's also a lot of great books and early patristics too. I'd encourage you, if you have the time and you're into the church fathers, read Roman authors like St. Justin Martyr, Hippolytus of Rome. That way you get a feel of the theology that was in those first, second, third, even in the fourth century. You can read some of these great saints all the way up to like St. Leo the Great. He's a little bit later, but again, gets you in touch with the great theology of Rome. Number six, eat your meals at scenic Italian spots. Most people say, but that's more expensive. And I say, you know what? It's worth it. If it costs an extra €5 to eat near the Pantheon, spend the extra €5 and eat at the Pantheon. Just sitting there at a cafe and having a caprese salad or a cappuccino and looking at the Pantheon or wherever it is, you know, St. Peter's or the Piazza Navona, whatever, sitting there and looking at the priests coming in and out, the seminarians, you'll see religious sisters, you'll see tour groups from as far away as Poland or from places in Asia. You also meet a lot of neat people. You'll see musicians and street performers. It's just a really wonderful way to do something sacramental, which is eating, and to do it in a beautiful place. So eat Italian scenic spots. Seven, pasta is great, pizza is great, but I try to eat low carb, as you know. I've talked about it on the podcast before, and I just fell in love with veal when I was in Rome. Love the veal dishes. Also the cured pork, you know, the prosciutto, all that stuff is so good. Some of the places you'll go into, and it took me a while to figure this out, but there'll be this giant lump on the side of the restaurant and there's a sheet over it, some cloth. Beneath that cloth is a giant leg of dried pork. Hasn't been cooked, it's just cured. And you, if you ask to order it, they go over there, they pull the fabric off of it, and they slice off pieces and bring it right to their table. Amazing. The cheese is great. The vegetable is good. So be experimental. Also, if you can get some of these oils, olive oils or truffle oils on the pasta, really amazing. And of course, what I always try to do is learn basic Italian vocabulary and ask the waiters, most of them nowadays know English, but ask them, what is the best thing here? And just trust them. Like, put your meal into their hands and say, what would you eat? Sometimes I even say this in America if I'm at a restaurant. If this was your last night on earth, what would you order from this menu? Or what would you order off the menu? Sometimes they'll find something that's not on the menu that's really, really tasty. So get some good food. Eat it at the Italian scenic spots. Ask around with locals where are good places to eat. And when you find good places, ask the waiters, ask the owners, what should you eat? Related to food, number eight, and here we're getting into the tourist stuff, gelato. Gelato is the Italian ice cream. For some reason, even in America, when you go to good Italian gelato places, it doesn't taste the same. Perhaps it's just the emotional experience of being in Rome. But last summer, before this, I always gravitated towards the fruit gelato or the mint chocolate chip gelato or pistachio gelato. But last summer, I discovered all of these nut gelatos. Now, I'm allergic to peanuts, but I can eat all of their nuts. And one of my favorite one was one called Baccio. And it's hazelnut, and it tastes kind of like Nutella. It's kind of a chocolate hazelnut flavor. I loved that. There's also a chestnut flavor called Castagna, and also Mandorla, which is almond, and of course, pistachio. And what I like to do is you get these nut flavors, and you can mix them with some dark berries or some dark chocolate. You usually can get like one or two. And they don't serve you a lot. You know, it's not like in America where you get like a giant Dairy Queen sundae. They give you just enough to taste. And it's a great thing to do in the evenings. I don't like, you know, I found gelato in the afternoons when it's hot. You know, like it's in the low 90s. Ice cream just makes me thirsty. It doesn't really quench my, you know, quench my thirst or cool me down. I like to have the gelato in the evening after dinner, maybe walking home back to the Vatican to sleep. So I would encourage you, if you get to Rome, try out these nut gelatos. It's not something that we have much in America, but in Rome, they do it great. And then number nine, I mentioned this in the opening, pray at the holy sites. You know, when you go into like the Sistine Chapel, the tendency is to pull out your phone, your iPhone, and just start taking a video or a photo. And of course, the Italian guys, they're going to yell at you if you do that. Instead, leave your phone in your pocket, or if you're at St. Peter's, or if you're at a beautiful church like St. Agnes or St. Sebastian, the Holy Cross, leave them in your pocket. You can get a great photo by Googling images on the internet, or you can buy a postcard, or you can buy a book. But instead, look at these amazing images and pray. You know, when I go to the Pietà inside St. Peter's, it's in there to the right as you come in. Most people are holding up their phone. There's a big group of people all huddled over there, and they're taking pictures and taking selfies, and that's okay. You know, I've taken a selfie there before. The most important thing you can do there is get on your knees. People look at you like you're kind of weird, but that's what it's there for, right? It's there for our devotion. Get on your knees and pray to Our Lady. Pray the Angelus. Pray the Hail Holy Queen. When you pass by the tomb of St. John Paul II, don't just take a bunch of pictures. Kneel down at the altar rail and commune and speak with St. John Paul II. When you go by the altar of St. Jude, maybe sit down there, pray, and read the Epistle of St. Jude. It'll take you about 1 or 2 minutes to read the Epistle of St. Jude. Be devotional. Be intentional. Take the times. I mean, there's so much art and there's so much beauty. You're going to want to just record it. Instead, record it in your soul. Does that make sense? If you're standing before the great judgment of Michelangelo in the Sistine Chapel, soak it in with your eyes and then pray to Jesus. He is going to be your judge. Jesus is personally going to judge you for every good and for every evil thing you did. And of course, we're going to beg his mercy and we're going to have faith and trust in his clemency. But at that moment, beg the Lord for his mercy on the day of judgment. You will face him. So use that magnificent art there. That's why Michelangelo painted it. Not just for tourists, but so that pilgrims, so that holy people would look at it and consider their own death, consider their own judgment with Christ, and that they would take hope that they would be with the saints that are in the upper part of the painting and not with the damned that are in the lower part of the painting. And then last of all, number 10, this is something that applies to all of life, but I think it applies especially when you're in a place like Rome or Jerusalem, and that is live in the moment. Turn off things like Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, texting, photography. Those things, they're okay. You can do them, all right? Turn it off and go back to how things used to be back in the 90s or the 2000s when there weren't all these distractions and dings and buzzes. And look at the young couple, you know, walking across the piazza together. Look at those young priests, you know, those 25-year-old men who are there studying in Rome. They could be from Germany. They could be from Poland. They could be from England. Watch them come out of the churches and pray for their vocation as priests. You know, you can see little cats, stray cats that are in these magnificent ruins there in the Forum. Just look at the cat and thank God for his creation. Be in the moment. Of course, we should always live in the moment. I was reading some of the desert fathers of Egypt, and they were talking about, this is the Eastern Orthodox Church I was reading, and they're talking about how it's impossible to always pray with the mouth. It's impossible. You can't constantly pray. In fact, I think it was St. Anthony of Egypt said, well, what do you do when you're eating? Are you praying with your mouth? No. What about when you're sleeping? No. But instead, we're challenged to live in the moment and recognize that that moment is in the presence of God. So even if we aren't saying in Our Father or Hail Mary, but if we're operating in that spiritual space, we are living a life of prayer. And for me, when I'm in Rome, that spiritual sense, that spiritual space kind of comes alive as I'm walking around. There's so much to see, and there's probably because there's so much beauty and so many saints that are praying for me that I can live in the moment and just pass my time in peace. So I think that's a good one for all of us, no matter if we're in Rome or Czechoslovakia, wherever we are, live in the moment. And if you're a pilgrim especially, live in the moment. I think my goal this year is to live in the moment and then to train myself in that. I'll be there for about a month and then to come home and continue that spiritual discipline. So there's 10 tips. I hope you enjoyed them. This podcast is a little bit shorter. For those of you that are coming with me to Rome and with Joy, myself, I look forward to seeing you. I'll be there for the next 3 weeks teaching, and then I have a spare weekend to relax, and then all the pilgrims from the New St. Thomas Institute will be coming to Rome, and I look forward to meeting you in person and to going through these 10 tips as we move through Rome and through Italy. If you want to join us on the pilgrimage, there are a few spots left, so just go to pilgrimages.com/Taylor Marshall. That's my name with two L's, Taylor Marshall, and you can sign up. And until next time, remember that our Lord Jesus Christ said that you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So go out there and be salty.